Tonight on the Dollar Bin, we're recording at Trey's. That's all I should have to say about that. Headphones, people, headphones.
All right. It's Wednesday.
Thanks, Chris.
September 5th. I'm Chris Black. You're here with the Dollar Bin.
And I was talking with my daughter, Maya, the other day, and, you know, I can just show her any letterer right off the bat now, and she's like, it's a letterer. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Okay, anyway, so this is a Dollar Bin.
So we don't have Chris today, so does he listen to the show, anybody?
I'm sure he does.
Does he listen to the show? Probably.
Chris, we miss you. I hope everybody listened to our Rochelle show, and if anybody listened to the Living Between Wednesdays Rochelle show and is just starting to listen to us now after that, thanks for stopping by. I'm hoping...
Sorry you won't be staying long. Because I'm back, and Trey now doesn't feel the need to behave himself. It's, a girl's not on the show, so it's all going downhill.
God, it was so hard keeping half of what I had to say inside. I got a rash.
I broke out into hives.
It was bad.
My inability to use Red Tornado as a vibrator reference.
You know?
Damn!
And I was going to use that reference, man, and I didn't, and I got a rash, and I still think she finds us all just the tiniest bit creepy anyway, so I'm good to get really
bad. I would hope so, because I find all of you to be more than just a tiny
Did you
bit
read
creepy.
What she said on her actual site? She was like, now you can hear my voice, and she says, and I quote, thanks, guys, I'd talk to you anytime. It's like, well, what does that really mean? Because I talk to like people who work in the drive-thru all the time.
Is that a compliment?
Bums on the street. I'd talk to you. That's like, I wouldn't punch you in the face anytime.
I wouldn't kick you in the junk.
I don't know if you've read any
don't
of our...
hate you, per se.
I don't know if you've read any of our recent comments, but she did comment and said that she had a blast, not quote, because I don't remember exactly what she said. And,
I read the email that the comments have been posted, and it's something to the effect of she'll have to come down to South Carolina for the show, and then Adam answers back extremely gaily, I always wanted to come to Canada!
I've always looked for an excuse to go to Canada, is what I said.
Well, man, we got our excuse, man. She was like, oh, man, you guys will get lots of dates up here with those southern accents.
She said the southern drawl will get you dates galore.
I don't have a southern accent, man. I don't know what
I'll drive if you get the date.
My southern drawl gets me dates
I'll
in the south.
I have no problem getting that.
Why would I go to Canada for that?
I don't have to go up north.
I'm going to Canada. I'm going to chop down trees down and here. Eat pancakes.
Yeah. So we can have things with syrup and crappy beer.
Please let me eat my grits with fucking syrup.
And we can root for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah, and Rochelle was extraordinarily sweet and nice and tolerated us as well as anybody could be expected to. And Rochelle.
Or tolerated the abbreviated version. And if you would have actually acted as you wanted ourselves. To, we'll see.
Today with us we have
John. Our 51st state.
John, who we... 51st state. Our largest state.
Or as I like to think of it, America's hat.
And Alaska's the little bell on the back of it, because it's a stocking cap.
And as I was trying to do earlier with
Stale
us today,
musty.
We also have John, who's usually on our Richards shows when we record at Richards. He's John, who used to work at Richards.
Still kind of does, hopefully. Richard, maybe. I love my job. No, go ahead.
He's not listening.
And so we have John with us, and he's gonna throw down. He's gonna loosen up a little. We're at Trey's house, so
whoa, the center of all things evil and comicdom. Yes.
Yeah, actually, I felt my soul leave the door when I walked in.
It's all right. It's normal.
You'll probably
I don't even carry mine with me anymore.
In listening to this, you probably heard a bumper, which you noticed we started doing. The Rochelle shows were clean. They didn't have bumpers.
This one won't be. It will have.
We're gonna see how...
That's a fucking profanity.
See how John can hold his own at Trey's house.
Cunning. God.
Jumping into reviews from this point on, unless anybody else has anything to throw out there, piss anybody else
Adam?
Off. Guess not.
Hey. That answers your question, doesn't it? There, Snappy.
I'm going to go ahead and talk about Chronicles of Wormwood, which didn't most recently come out. It came out, the last issue came out a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But I had to order it because everybody I usually bought it from sold out. Okay. I don't know how many they ordered, but nobody had it. So I went ahead and ordered it from some online company. I can't remember what they were called, mycomics.com or something like that. It's issue 6. It's the last issue of the run. Garth Ennis out Garth Ennis's Garth Ennis.
Is that possible?
I was about to say. That, wow. No.
That's like puppies getting shot in the head and baby seals being clubbed to death with baby seals.
Let's leave Michael Vick out of this.
Well, let me just say, has anyone ever seen an image of God masturbating?
Not since last Tuesday.
Wow.
Not since I walked by the mirror about 10 minutes ago.
Let me take a look at that. Wow.
This book is way...
only on my MySpace page.
Way off the charts.
And God masturbating.
God masturbating.
What would God masturbate to exactly? Is it just like, I'm God,
apparently, so apparently.
Yeah, but wouldn't everything bore you if you created everything?
And I know Devin's... I gave Chronicles of Wormwood to Devin to read.
No, this is what happens when I talk shit about other people getting offended. Karma is a motherfucker.
I would just like to say real fast on page two, I thought it was very funny that there's a cop getting ass-fucked.
Yes, there is.
This book is like...
I've never read anything like this in my life. I've never seen anything like this. It's so just above and beyond Garth Ennis-isms. I mean, it's like way... I know John reads Boys. I've never read Boys.
I actually like The Boys a lot.
The Boys is bad.
Please.
I left you a complete opening there, and you didn't take it.
I whiffed. It's like Casey at the bat. It came big, fat, and plump down the middle, and I froze up.
Well, I think you pretty much said it. I mean,
well, Trey likes some big, fat, and plump down the middle.
Never mind. You got something else there.
But
he likes The Boys.
Damn.
Which is a Garth Ennis book, which is above and beyond sanity. And would you say that this is even further?
Oh, by far, because...
He turns a guy's nose into a penis, because he pisses him off. One of the guys, not God, but...
That's in the first book.
The Antichrist is basically, it's about the Antichrist, is the main character. He's Wormwood.
Okay.
He doesn't really want to be the Antichrist.
And he doesn't want to be the Antichrist, but...
Well, if you go around turning people's noses into dicks...
Yeah.
Well, he only did it because he
made fun of Jesus.
Yeah, and because the Antichrist and Jesus are best friends. And and Jesus was actually like, basically, I don't know if that's this in the first book, he's like a hippie who gets beaten by cops at a demonstration. So now he's not all there.
Why doesn't the Antichrist want to be the Antichrist?
Because he doesn't
want... Isn't that like the best job you could possibly have?
Well, he doesn't want to bring the end of the world, is what this is. He doesn't mind having the power. And he's actually a...
Do you not watch TV or have the internet?
No,
Somebody needs to.
He is a premium cable channel executive.
What?
Yeah.
That's who the Antichrist is.
I would have gone for more like ABC.
And he's the one who's actually like sort of trying to keep the shows under control.
Yeah,
like they're wanting all the out there kind of shit to be on TV. And he's like, hey, why don't we just do this funny show here?
So we've got masturbating God, pudding-headed Christ, TV executive, Antichrist.
Yes.
And cop getting butt-fucked, and we haven't even really scratched the surface.
And that's not even the story.
He's cheating on his girlfriend with Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
That was a good show.
He has a pet
good
rabbit.
Though.
He has a pet rabbit who he gave the ability to talk.
Okay.
So like his best friends are Jesus and the pet rabbit.
Thank you.
That's like a really bad Alice in Wonderland story. I just want you to know
this book is just freaking weird. Like if you are not offended by anything, go ahead and read
it. It's the book for you.
But if you enjoy being offended, go ahead and read it. I'm pretty sure Devin's going to be offended.
Yeah.
And because I know Devin can be offended.
Yeah.
So I think this will do it.
When did this happen?
Oh, it can happen.
But he's going to go ahead and read it anyway. See if he makes it all the way through.
Yeah.
You've only read the first book, right?
Yeah.
And it's weird.
It's out there.
It's offensive.
Robert warned me.
If Robert
feels you might have questionable material, damn.
Then I kind of started to get worried.
Is the book on fire? Is it contaminated?
It's so bizarre. It's so offensive. And
is it the most offensive thing you've ever seen in print?
I've never even thought about anything this offensive, and I can think of some offensive stuff.
I was gonna say,
Trey's never said anything this offensive.
For those that shop at Richards does not have a bag strong enough to contain this.
It
comes with this.
It is entirely too dirty.
I don't think Richard could carry that in the store.
I enjoyed it, but man, it's bizarre. Handing it off to Trey.
Handing it off to me. All right, well.
I don't really feel like I can follow that act. Yeah. But since I must,
I'm even taking this.
Let's talk about something that was offensive in a completely different way.
In a completely different way. I'm going to be reviewing the final issue of Amazon's Attack. Amazon's Attack number 6.
This wasn't a free book.
This review with a musical quote from Billy Preston. I wrote a story. It ain't got no moral. Let the bad guy win every once in a while. Will it go round in circles? Thank you, Mr. Preston. And that
rest
is
in peace,
the
Mr.
only
Preston.
Thing about Amazon's Attack from beginning to end, issues 1-6, that redeems it is that the upshot is the bad guys win Amazon's Attack. You know, when you started reading this crossover, you had to know that somebody was manipulating the Amazons into attacking, that they weren't really bad. And you had to know that they were going to uncover who it was by the end and set things right. The mastermind turns out to be Granny Goodness, one of the goofier New Gods characters who lives on Apocalypse with Darkseid and all those other guys.
You think this is all part of the trumpeting of Darkseid's grand return?
I'm wondering if it is, but you know, there are other ramifications. Part of what Goodness does before it's all over is she exiles the Amazons. The Amazons are gone now. It's Hippolyta and Wonder Woman are the only two Amazons that are left. Every other Amazon is now living a normal life, thinking that she is a normal person, and they're scattered throughout the world, not knowing what it
is that they are capable of doing. The local Dairy Queen?
Hippolyta is sitting alone on her island. She sits alone on Paradise Island, exiled. I don't know if they've got plans for Wonder Woman in the future, based on what's going to come out of this.
Well, Gail Simone's picking up Wonder Woman in general.
I loved her Secret Six stuff, thought it was awesome, and maybe she'll be able to make this character that everybody knows, but nobody knows anything about, interesting again. But I was just kind of tickled that a bad guy won a major crossover. So
nice.
It's worth checking out for
that.
But then
again, that's the only thing that anybody can say positive about the Dark series.
Yeah, because I've heard nothing but bad things about Amazon.
Even DC is saying bad things about their own crossover.
Well, Rochelle said it was written well, but it was just a weird story. Well, like in general, she said the book was written well.
When DC actually will make a really big, huge spread and a big deal about it, then usually it ends up, like, the first three or four issues are really good, and they kind of drop it, because usually Jeff Loeb's writing it. But with Amazon Attacks, they really didn't push it at all. And, I mean, from a comic book standpoint, like, from a worker in a comic book store, they really didn't push it at all. So I think it was one of those where they knew it was going to be a bad book, and they just didn't care.
Well, the thing is,
I don't think they care most of the time, because they put out a lot of bad books. Yeah,
well, the thing is, we've been picking on Amazon's Attack, because it's been the least of the big crossovery stuff that DC's been doing. But the simple fact is, it isn't that it's bad per se. It's just been very by the numbers. Very by the numbers. You could guess what was going to happen. You knew Circe was going to be involved because Wonder Woman has all of like two villains anyway. So you knew Circe was going to be involved. They did everything they were supposed to do with it. And it was just kind of like, eh. You know, Will Pfeiffer did not do a bad job writing it. The art wasn't bad. It was just, eh. You know, no big deal.
More of the same.
And, like I said, the idea that the bad guy wins in the end, I'm just tickled by that.
I mean, like all of what you're saying, I get that it wasn't like offensive bad, but as far as I'm concerned, since all comics are $3 and up now, it's not worth paying $3 for. It's a bad comic.
Brian wants his comics to come with a cup of coffee and a back rub.
Back rub, yeah,
that'd be so sweet.
Coffee, especially if I can get a happy ending out of it.
Hey,
Devin, what did you read this week? Speaking of happy endings.
I did get a happy ending with my local number 10. Yeah, not about Megan. If anybody reads local, I've been telling you fools to read it. The last 10 issues. Hopefully somebody's fucking listening to me.
We gave it to Chris and he loved it.
Besides Adam. Did he actually read it?
Yeah, he read them all. He loved them.
This issue of local did not focus on Megan, who's pretty much the focus of most of them. This one focused on her brother because we just learned of a family member's death.
In the last issue, we find out when Megan finds
out. It was
how
Megan dealt with it and everything. And this was basically her brother trying to drink it away, sort of.
But yeah.
Which is what you
basically
should do with
just a lot of flashbacks about, you know, their childhood and, you know, him growing up and how he, you know, he feels guilty about things, which really I'm just kind of getting depressed talking about it, but which it was depressing, but you know what I'm saying? At the same time, man, Brian Wood is a fucking beast, man. Dude. And Ryan Kelly also shines on this issue with his crazy ass art. And I mean, Brian, it's just a good book, man. Consistently, that book
never fucking lets me down. I don't care what is going on. You know, I have not picked up one of those 10 issues and not been completely satisfied putting it down. So, and that's rare.
Brian Wood has a way of getting in your head. Like, I just read Demo over the weekend too.
Also,
every
awesome.
One of those stories, I'm just, it's like I've thought everything that's happened in every story that Brian Wood's ever written has passed through my head at some time, you know, in life.
It's pretty crazy.
So my parents haven't died.
I've got Couscous Express on docket up next.
I gotta get sweet.
And then the Couriers after that. Yeah, I did also read Supermarket, but also last week I want to talk about it right quick. I'm sorry, I know I don't have any of those, so I'm good. I read DC's New Frontier,
and that's first time you picked it up,
which is the first time. Yeah, I've been sleeping on it because I just thought it was gonna be like
under his pillow,
hokey old school bullshit, like bang pop. You know, pizzow, all that kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's totally not like that at all, man. It was actually like, it was kind of gritty and, I don't know, man. The story had balls.
The artwork is really
balls.
Nice, too.
Balls. I like balls.
Darwin Cook did a great job. I can't say enough good things about that book.
I got two questions. One, well, I just have one question. Okay. Who the hell is Grace?
She's an Outsiders girl.
We'll get to it.
I'm glad. This is the part of the show where John has to fill everybody in because John's the only one that reads DC's crap. Okay. Five of the Kind Part 5 or number 1 with Wonder Woman, whatever the hell you want to call it, because DC did a horrible job of trying to tie these in together. Not only is it a countdown tie-in, but it's also an Amazon Attacks tie-in for the
good
people that
Lord,
didn't read it.
Man. And a tie-in for the new series.
Right. So basically, DC said, let's cram as much bullshit into one issue as possible. But the one thing that I did like is, and maybe it was just because I didn't read Amazon Attacks enough because I didn't care, but Grace is also from a different sect of Amazonian women, and that's where she gets all her superpowers because her mom was one of those people who, from what I understand, most Amazons are lesbians except for her mom, who's, you know, obviously screwed somebody so she could be here. But
is she like a half Amazon?
Yeah, she's a half breed.
So aren't they made from like sand or something?
Clay.
Yeah.
Sand.
Yeah.
I thought they were real except for Wonder Woman. Are all of them made from clay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, all the Amazons.
Well, back in the 30s, 40s,
because they're not human.
I need to see my physician.
Yeah. Well, no, but back then they didn't. Obviously, homosexuality was not something that was expressed in comics, so they had to make a whole island of women somehow without there being.
See, I would have figured that the gods decided to make them was like explanation enough. Because if you're a god, can't you pretty much just get away with shit like that?
Made them out of clay.
Yeah, but if you're a god, do you need something to base it off of?
Yeah, Adam was
made
out of
clay. They needed, you know,
clay,
they had to make ugly children
rib
somehow.
Of a man.
I'm Zeus, damn it.
You know.
So this is the five of the kind thing?
Yeah, it's the last part where Batman goes and teams up somebody who you know is going to be on Outsiders with someone who you know is not going to be on Outsiders, and they have to go save the day. And then at the end, of course, he gives Grace the here you go, here's your Outsiders.
Here's your membership.
Well,
card.
I mean, you know, Wonder Woman's not going to be on the Outsiders.
And what's with this? Like,
right?
And this is something Flacco and I were talking about. Like, why the fuck are they going to make these books where it's like the assembling of a team and shit like that? But yet, in every book that you read, there's already an advertisement every fucking person that's
apparently
in the team.
Apparently, Devin doesn't listen to the show either.
Yeah, we've talked about this since the first one. We started talking about this series with the other John from Greenville.
When we were in Greenville,
and
the show.
And the one that he talked about is the first one of this little series is the only good one. They've gotten worse each congruent issue.
The one thing I do that I will kind of try to defend the one other issue is the one with Aquaman in it, only because that new Aquaman, I like it a lot better than the old Aquaman. It explains the portals and how they're actually going to be traveling now, because once they start the series, Aquaman will be part of the team and they're going to mysteriously just appear places, and it kind of explains the warp holes in the water and that kind of thing.
I just want to say that
and why Aquaman doesn't have to really swim that much.
Exactly. Why he's not tired after going across the earth.
I was in Atlantis and now I'm in Russia. Boy, my arm's tired.
I just flipped through this. Yeah. I haven't read it or anything because, well,
you don't read DC, but that's fine.
I just want to say, I read DC.
We do read DC.
I'm getting really tired of people saying that
everybody
we bash and don't like DC just because we didn't like 52.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Has we heard anything from that little troll?
No.
Again? Who actually reviewed our site. Did you see the review that we got? Where did we get the review from?
Which one? The one on iTunes?
The one with the little trailer, was it on iTunes? Where he's like, yeah, they cuss a lot and they're foul mouthed and they didn't like 52 and they're DC was a totally bashers. Different.
Well, there was another guy, and
no, I think you're mixing in like,
yeah, yeah, that's like four negative reviews in one.
but somebody said that we were DC like bashers and like, what are you paid by Marvel? It's like, yeah, like we don't bash the shit out of Marvel on a regular basis.
Yeah, I hope you're still listening. Two words, Daniel Way.
Brian,
did anybody pick up the Batman Annual?
Yes, I did.
That's, you know, about to relaunch into the return of Ra's al Ghul.
I mean, did you want to slit your throat when you were done reading it?
Nobody was clamming for. I really like the art. David Lopez did the penciling. I like his style for this book.
Mm-hmm.
Don't care if it was Grant Morrison's idea or Jim Morrison's or Horace Grant's. I still think that the little bastard kid was a terrible idea. He continues to be a terrible idea. And then bringing Ra's al Ghul back for no fucking reason just to do a big 90-issue Batman crossover is a bad idea. So that's pretty much my thought for the Batman Annual.
I'll agree with Brian. Let's just leave it at that, huh?
Wow. Jesus.
What do you have there, Brian?
Let's end the show right there.
And the seas will run red like blood, and the moon will be in sackcloth. Brian and Adam will agree on anything.
Speaking of crazy teams...
Master the segue.
Everybody, anybody pick up Teen Titans 50?
I did. And you know why I picked it up? Sean McKee.
But look, man, I'm looking at this cover for Teen Titans number 50, and there's a Martian Manhunter chick on here.
Yeah,
she's actually one of the white Martians from Morrison's JLA run.
But she's a happy Martian, though. So
all right, now wait a minute. To understand my point, I've got to take you guys back to a time before electricity when I first read Teen Titans. And when I first read Teen Titans,
that's 60 or 64.
Damn it, I'm the youngest on the show again.
But it was all, they were sidekicks. It was, the idea was that all the sidekicks formed a super team, right?
Teen Titans!
Now I'm looking at the cover of this, and I recognize Robin as a sidekick, and I see Supergirl over here, and then I see this Martian Manhunter chick.
But she's not actually affiliated with the Martian Manhunter.
She just happens to be a green chick.
Yeah, she's more or less copping his style.
Okay. And then I see the green team, that I know that to be Wonder Girl, who is not Donna Troy.
Right.
Is this the same Wonder Girl who went kind of like religious zealot crazy? And,
yes.
Okay.
Cassie.
I see Blue Beetle down here, the new Blue Beetle.
Yes.
And I see a chick that I know is named Ravager.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is a daughter of...
Deathstroke the Terminator.
Deathstroke the Terminator?
Yeah.
Yep.
How many kids does this guy have that aren't dead yet?
Hey, if you were him, you'd be nailing chicks left and right, too.
Well, I'm just saying that his son's, again, now we're only going back to a time, right? You know.
Well, you had the first son that guy killed, which was New Teen Titans number 2.
The original Ravager.
Then had Jericho.
Yeah, Jericho. Then, let me...
Chris Jericho, unfortunately.
Here's where I get confused. There's another Ravager that's a boy... That's in the actual Deathstroke, the Terminator series.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's the same boy or not. I mean, it'd be kind of hard, but they bring everybody back from the dead anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's his daughter, Rose, who is now the Ravager, or how the heck.
Okay, so this is actually Rose, who was a character without a costume for a long time, right?
And Titans for a long time, too, because remember her and Impulse right there before they ended it, they were almost having a thing
going. She used to babysit Roy's bastard offspring.
So it is still basic. Oh, and I see... I can only assume this red guy is Kid Devil.
Yes.
Very good.
All right, who I remember used to be just a kid in a suit.
Who was somewhat with Blue Devil.
But like Blue Devil, he eventually morphed into an actual demon.
So this is essentially still a sidekick team.
It's just about like kind of like going around your head to grab your ass kind of.
Yeah. It's kind of a sidekick-ish.
Okay. Yeah.
And actually, if they stay with that lineup for the first time in 50 issues... It's actually 18 book again.
Well, and see, as you're saying that, I open up and on the very next page, I see characters from the Wolfman Perez run.
Right.
Where, that was just not a sidekick team at all. We're talking about Raven is here, and I see Cyborg here.
Well, it was half and half.
And I see the other green guy, this one from the Doom Patrol.
Beast Boy Changeling.
Yeah, depending on when you're talking about it. So what is it that they're trying to do with the Titans right now? I mean, is it... Just a teen book? Are they trying to keep the sidekick flavor to it? Are they making it dark and nasty like they did?
I would think it's more of just a teen thing versus a sidekick thing. They did a, for the ones of us who actually read 52 and enjoyed it, you bastards, they actually did a another little four-issue mini with the Teen Titans about going back and visiting the people that were members of the Teen Titans for that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it all seemed to be like some sort of effed up sidekick version of Yedzer Tana.
They're all like either partners or sidekicks or continuing legacies of somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think
that's where half those guys came from anyway.
I think to a certain extent it's kind of morphed into what JSA is.
Yeah.
Where they're not necessarily sidekick, but they want them to be lineage characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the characters now are second, third generation characters.
But my complaint about this entire run, whether it was Geoff Johns or the various fill-ins, is that it wasn't a teen book. Cyborg's 38, Starfire, however old Tamarians get, you know, she could
She's
be 87 by now.
She's hot, though.
That's the one with the giant hair.
Yes.
Her giant other thing.
Yeah, I was about to say kudos for saying hair.
You should have paused, though, dramatically. Giant hair.
Yeah, she's super Jersey girl.
My favorite part of this issue is if they stay with that lineup, it'll be back to being teens, because why would you call it Teen Titans and then everybody's my age?
Well, wasn't it Titans for a little while?
Yeah. It was Titans, but that's when it was
that was a completely other different series.
That was when Devin Grayson was writing it?
Yes. I don't say that name.
I like the Devin Grayson run.
He's
I
not bad,
it was
dude. Some,
right.
of, some of his Batman stuff's not bad.
Devin's a chick.
Chick.
Her. Sorry.
And it's all bad.
Yeah, so. Devin is a girl's name, isn't it?
Yeah. No, the fuck it's not.
I have some of her movies.
But if, what I'm saying is...
that's what
there's
no.
two ends on that, asshole.
It seems like DC might be kind of feeling the weight of its own continuity and the fact that they can't let characters age yet again. Because during the Devin Grayson run, they were setting them up to be like the third generation team. They had four generational teams, right? Yeah. You had the Justice Society, then you had the Justice League, then you had the Titans, then you had Young Justice.
Right.
On the tail end. And now I'm looking at the Teen Titans, and I'm seeing a couple of members of Young Justice,
That's a flashback issue. They do a lot of flashback because it's Bart Allen's funeral and stuff like that, and they kind of do a flashback thing.
One of the problems that I've had inconsistencies with the Titans book has been Raven, though, because if you remember, like when she first came in, she was kind of a teenager, and then through that whole where it became from New Teen Titans to Teen Titans.
She got older than everybody, and then
she became like
de-aged again.
And then she left for a while, and then came back. She was 20, and then she left and came back, and now she's like 4.
And now she's 15. Yeah, she's like 15, 16 again. And the thing that I don't get about this is they're still playing Changeling, because I don't like the name Beast Boy. like, he is still high school age.
Right.
And he's been in that book as long as the rest of those bastards. He's got to be mid-20s.
If you got
to
remember,
even in comic book aging, he's got to be
I mean, he
mid-20s.
Was a kid with the Doom Patrol at the same time that, you know, Robin is a kid with Batman.
Right.
They should be about the same age.
Well,
I mean, he was
too,
a little bit younger than them, but not like 10 years younger
than
them.
They had the Beast Boy miniseries out, which was kind of cheesy and stupid, but he was like 20, 25 in that. So, I mean, like, they actually almost... I may be wrong, but they actually kind of like threw out that he was mid-20s in that book. And then, like you said, you come back to this, and he's like 4, which I keep throwing that number out, by the way.
Wait, let me ask you this. Beast X-Men. Boy Changeling, is he referred to both those at any given time? Or
it depends on who's writing the book.
Really?
Well,
so it's not even
an Doom
era
Patrol
thing?
Yeah, if it's a Doom Patrol thing,
uh-huh,
then it's more of a Changeling. And then when he's with the...
Patrol's Beast Boy.
And then
really
with that, he's changing.
So it's not even a, like, he used to be... It's not like a Kid Flash.
No, he's gone by both at various times. For
it depends
really
if he's wearing
reason.
The black and purple hat.
Gotcha.
Well, you know, if you want to talk about continuity-fucked characters on the Titans, I notice we have a copy of the Technus Imperative right here.
Can we pretend that never happened?
Well,
that's the only thing Devin Grayson is part of that I actually didn't want to light on fire.
I like the art. Phil Jimenez is just awesome. But going through the different iterations of Cyborg and seeing, because I had actually lost touch with that character for a while, and seeing how far away from his original concept he had gotten was just crazy unreal. And then in this book, do they bring him back down to basics? No, they turn him into a gold guy.
Yeah.
His Kingdom Come was still hot.
Yeah.
Right? So they make him a Kingdom Come dude, and it was like, I don't want to be.
And then he almost looked human for a while, and then he didn't, and he did, and then he didn't, and you're like, okay.
And now, and how did he go from that? Did he have another accident that caused him to have half of his body encased in metal again?
Well, I'm just going to say, we're going to pretend all that didn't happen, but there was a part where he was in outer space at the end of Infinite Crisis, and he was kind of broken and mutilated and in pieces, And then that's what the whole year of.
Well, that's not how we turned into the gold thing. The
well,
gold
no, no,
was
no,
before
but
that.
Like I said, that
was a stupid outer space thing too.
Yeah. Though.
Right. Yeah.
Which, you know, everything in space usually becomes
really,
stupid at some point.
I think if you, I mean, you touched briefly on them originally getting birthed, like back in the 60s.
Getting birthed?
Yeah.
Is that word again?
So this was originally a series that started like in 60, 64, something like that.
63, I think. Yeah. Late 63.
As a Brave and the Bold DC Presents type little side gig.
Showcase, I think, Showcase. Is where they started off. And actually, I have an old one in the back, which I'm going to go get in a minute and show it to you. I actually have the original run of Teen Titans number 4, and it is littered with like kooky, way out, go-go dialogue. And they all have these little stupid nicknames for each other. Like, you know, it's Wonder Chick and Gilhead is Aqualad and
Batboy, Flasho. 70s, let's have these be hip kids.
Right.
Well, no, this is writers who were writing dialogue that was out of date in 1940 and trying to put it into the mouths of 1963 teenagers, right. And it was terrible.
Or were they putting it into the mouths of
1960? Well,
Speaking of Wolfman and Prez.
Yes.
Actually, it's one of my personal favorite eras, mm-hmm. but if I can go back to the original run, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know they kind of killed Dula Dent off in the first issue of Countdown.
Right.
But she was the most F-up character that they came out with in Teen Titans, because originally, like, I think when they first brought her, she was like supposed to be the Joker's daughter.
Right.
But then
right.
she becomes Harvey Dent's daughter, and then she becomes somebody else's daughter, and they never make any good sense. And then one time she's sane, and then she's crazy, and she's sane.
That's because she was from a different one of the worlds.
I think that was number 43.
You shut your continuity.
Hello. That's why that's why the monitors had to kill her, because she was in the wrong world.
Well, that's why they're killing Kyle Reiner too, or Reiner or whatever.
Bastards. So what's up with they just won't let Robin and Wonder Girl make out, will they? They just won't
bastards.
Let it happen.
Well, you know,
and he's so much better for her than Superboy is anyway.
Hey, all right, let me say this. I liked Connor, thank you very much.
I do too.
I thought finally when the first issue of Teen Titans hit, don't roll your eyes, I'll punch you in the eyeball.
Why don't we start again trying to do the beginning of Titans and go through instead of going backwards and then say, but what I want to talk about is the Young Justice guys.
Well,
forward.
I don't know what there is much to say, because, I mean, once in the beginning, I mean, when the Titans came out, we've already talked about what they were and what they were trying to do. I don't recall that ever being a particularly good-selling Marvel, DC title.
It wasn't a good
selling.
It really wasn't.
It died and came back several times.
Right, and then it wasn't until Wolfman and Perez got a hold of it in the mid-80s, and then that book blew up, man. It was when they introduced Raven and Cyborg and all that stuff. You know, the top two selling comics, period, in those days were X-Men, Teen Titans. That was what everybody was buying, and that was it.
It fed my desire to read comics for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the only thing that I still have, quote-unquote, collection of.
Right.
I still have those books. Other crap I was reading in the 80s and 90s, it's been long gone and don't have any interest in buying it out. But I have every Wolfman and Perez.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, for them, too. As the two guys, I respect them mainly because they put two Titans books out for quite a while there as well.
That's right.
So all these little assholes that are taking way too much time to put out a book.
And
every issue they put out was consecutively a good issue.
Right.
Yeah.
But that was a good stuff. And I remember when Wolfman was obviously getting tired of writing it, and he started doing crazy bad writer things. Like, he came up with this wussy, like, New Age man character for Donna Troy to date.
Let's start at the beginning before we get into him. So they relaunched the book with half sidekicks from the original team and half brand new characters.
Correct. Yep.
And at that particular time, DC wasn't about launching crazy new characters, but they throw an alien chick, they throw a goth witch in there, they throw a black guy in there, which for DC that was only like that was only one of two black characters they even had at that point.
He wasn't even a whole black man. He was like
they couldn't even make him all black.
He was like a black man, a half a black man, and a toaster.
But like you said, I mean, that book was carrying the company at that point. It was them and X-Men. Do you think the X-Men comparisons were valid?
Yeah, yes.
Kind of, sort of.
What was similar besides, I mean, X-Men wasn't even all teenage book. What was similar?
Okay, well, this was the first one of the first books, too, that I, if I remember correctly, that DC put out that had differences. Like, it wasn't just like the blonde-haired, blue-eyed, cookie-cutter superhero people.
Right, right.
Well, when Giant Size X-Men number one hit, that was their first time of actually making completely different. You had a Russian, you had...
Going for cultural diversity.
Exactly, and it was their first time. Not only were they trying to go for everybody reading it and liking it, besides just a specific core group, they went as far as hitting different races and things like that to try.
I think that's a valid comparison, but a lot of people used to rip that Titans was ripping off X-Men, and I don't see any ripping off.
That always struck me.
Yeah,
as,
I don't see any ripping off.
Cross company pissing and bitching, right. Like Clemson and Carolina fans on each
other. The thing I think is hilarious is if you read interviews with Wolfman about introducing Terra, and he said basically that was them flipping off people that said they were ripping off the X-Men. Because they said, all right, well, they have Kitty Pryde. I'm going to introduce a cute little teenage girl and then make her a fucking psycho bitch. Because that'll show them.
And this is kind of the other thing about the Titans that I was getting ready to get to is Wolfman got nasty, dude. All right, you got Deathstroke the Terminator, who is obviously written to be in his 50s.
Right.
Obviously having sex
the 15-year-old
with a girl who is obviously written to be about 14 or 15 years old.
Yeah.
Nasty stuff. Before his run is over, Raven gets freaking demon raped, right? In a very nasty little storyline.
And there's some allusions to stuff like that, too, with the Starfire, when she was like a slave or whatever. And some of the flashbacks and stuff, you get the idea that that shit was going on. Is it Gordanian? Is that how you say
the
that?
The Gordanian slavers.
That happened to her with some of the stuff with Trigon.
Trigon.
Yeah. I like Trigon better.
Trigon.
You get the illusion that that stuff's going on, you know.
I think I took a class from him.
And all the crossovers with him, you get the illusion that stuff's going on.
My cosines are fucked up.
And even like the messed up stuff with, you know, like underage and rape and things like that, everybody in that book was nailing somebody.
Yeah.
Everybody was getting it on. And that none of that stuff was going on anywhere else in DC at that point.
No. And it was awash in like pain and angst. And it was always... which is what I think, where it has the most in common with X-Men. Everybody was walking around with a gaping emotional wound.
Yeah, everybody has
I'm
some sort of
half
fucking
a man,
problem.
I'll never be human, you know, or my 14-year-old girlfriend's been fucking a 50-year-old guy, and now she's dead. Or my father's a demon. That's
why am I wearing green underwear? Wait a minute.
But yeah, everybody was just
daddy liked it. That's why
Wally West at that time using his powers would kill him.
Yeah,
they're killing him.
But before that, he was an interesting character because he was one of the first heroes I remember that like wasn't digging it at all.
Yeah,
like he didn't really want to be a hero. It was like, I don't really want to do this, but all my friends are doing it.
Yeah,
kind of a shit. Is like, I thought that was cool because. Yeah. Most of the time, it was, you know, everybody at DC was Superman. I'll go off and save the day because I'm fucking Superman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this was the Flash's sidekick going,
I
want
to go to college.
Yeah, I got a class in 10 minutes. You guys go save the world. Fuck off, you know.
Well, I like the Teen Titans 39 the new Teen Titans 39, when, you know, Robin and Kid Flash both gave it up. And they said, you know what? Yeah, I got college to go to. And I just don't like being a Batman shadow anymore. So let me take this off and then put a yellow and blue costume on.
That's a little
bit later. But, you know.
And those Nightwing costumes were bad.
Oh, man, with those high collars? Man, that was the stuff,
dude,
man.
Dude, he had the big. And then when he finally lost the big collar, he got the 8-foot rat tail.
Yeah, straight disco in the 90s. What the hell?
I personally like the big yellow shoulder pads that he had with the ponytail. Right. That was great.
But something that also struck me about those books back then is. They were the first comic books I remember where it didn't have to revolve around some sort of like villain fight.
Yeah.
I mean, half their issues, there wasn't shit going on.
Right. Well
yeah, it was them like walking around and talking about how rotten their lives were.
Yeah.
Like the first role, like the Tales of Teen Titans miniseries they did, they were at a damn cookout or like camping or something, and it was just like
telling stories about how shitty their upbringing was.
Yeah.
You think you had it bad? Wait till next issue and we're going to talk about me.
Poor
I mean, you never got that stuff out of anything else in DC. And the thing I thought was funny about that is the series was so popular with that stuff that they used it to launch other books.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, none of them got their own books. Like, they used it to launch Vigilante.
Right.
They used it to launch a spinoff book where they eventually had two titles themselves and, like, miniseries and shit. I mean, at one point, there was, like, 8 Titan books.
Yeah. Right. Well, then you had, like, Deathstroke Terminator got his own book after that. And I actually kind of liked the first year of Vigilante.
The only Vigilante I ever read was that them launching it out of the Titans
annual
book.
Right. Yeah. Annual 2. Yeah.
Well, and we got some characters that have had staying power. I mean, yeah. You don't think about Deathstroke the Terminator being a Titans character, but that's what he is.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and, you know, and it, again, I not to try to bring the present to the past, mm-hmm. but really after his Titans run and kind of the first couple years of his book, he really did kind of suck there for a while until Infinite Crisis. So
he disappeared into Identity Crisis.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. But it was nice that they brought him back to the full crazy guy that he was. That's what I like.
They've already wolfed him out again.
When Wolfman's run kind of faded away and then it was passed on to lesser hands, I mean, it just, that Titans empire that DC had crumbled really quickly.
It went south really fast.
Right, and the X-Men kept on chugging.
The way I remember it is everything was going strong and you had the Judas contract, which right. is still, I can still read that today and think that is just excellent shit.
Yeah.
And after that, they launched into having one of the first like DC attempts at a prestige format.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they did stories out of it and did stories out of Tales of the Teen Titans.
Right.
And then eventually Tales of the Teen Titans just started reprinting.
Right.
DC's first attempt at screwing you out of money. Perez stopped doing the book regularly. Like, he started just doing covers for a while.
Right.
And was still apparently co-plotting. And then Wolfman, you know, he was in some contract negotiations with DC and not liking his control. And then he eventually jumped out of it. And like you said, the book just went south really fast and has had various incarnations since then and never really recovered from it.
And I think you're right. You know, they've had, I remember when they launched this really crappy Teen Titans that had none of the original members, no characters that you'd ever heard of before.
Is that when the Atom was running it?
Yeah, Teenage Atom.
Yeah. Right.
That was horrible.
Bad stuff. You know, you were just danking on the Devin Grayson run. I actually kind of like the Devin Grayson run.
Who are you? And what have you done with my tray?
I'll tell you why I liked it. I liked it because it had a bunch of the original members there, and they were approaching the team as if they were responsible for bringing along the younger superheroes the way that their mentors had brought them along. So you have Dick Grayson, you've got Donna Troy, you've got Roy Harper, you've got Gar.
Right.
Gar. And then you also had characters like Damage was on the team.
Right.
Then, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and actually, he's a character that I actually like.
He is, and they've actually done some weirder stuff with him since then. But, you know, they brought along these characters, and there are interesting subplots going on because Roy was taking care of his daughter via Cheshire, which was good stuff. It was fun, you know? That was.
You ever say good stuff affiliated with Roy Harper again?
Oh, hush.
You and
with him, good stuff's like, you know,
you just VD, stop it with your man crush on a fictitious character.
But more on Dick Grayson later. I read the Tetanus Imperative. And I like that okay.
Yeah, remember that girl Nicole that I was talking about earlier?
I thought the concept for the series was interesting. And I like the fact they had the original three and what's his name?
Right.
I mean, the original four and what's his name?
Yeah.
I thought the concept was good. I thought the execution was just shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if someone took those issues from and used them for a bonfire, you know, I'd probably give them the cover price to do that. I mean, I thought they were really bad. I mean, that's my honest opinion.
I wasn't nearly as put off by it as you were. I like, you know, talk about comic book writers in general for a minute, all right? Comic book writers, in particular, Brad Meltzer, Brad Meltzer's characters don't sound like superheroes. They sound like your college friends sitting around and talking about shit.
Right.
Devin Grayson kind of has that same issue. She's got that same problem. Her characters don't sound like superheroes. Well, they sound like your college friends sitting around talking.
I don't think my disagreement with that, because I think the Wolfman Perez Titans were that way, where they talked about
and
people
what I'm
I was
saying
growing
is,
up with.
In Titans,
I just think Devin Grayson is a shitty writer.
That's the book where it works.
Yeah.
Because they're all supposed to be basically college-age kids sitting around talking. So it's like, it rings true in a way that, you know, some of Devin's other writing hasn't. Devin, like, I hang out with her every Friday. Ms. Grayson's writing doesn't necessarily ring that as true as it did for me on Titans. And I thought it was good. The art was serviceable. It was by the numbers. It was nothing spectacular, but it was good DC house style stuff, and had no problem with it. It was a solid run. You know, it was a solid run.
What do you think? I want a definitive judgment on
I will say I agree with your stuff on her.
Bastard.
I do think I will say that after about issue 25 when they did the Who's Donna Troy
for the 1800th time.
After that,
I don't care who she is. She's hot. That's enough.
But after that, I would say it kind of dropped down. I mean, if it was good, they wouldn't have canceled it and tried to restart something else.
Correct.
But
and for the record, I think that Donna Troy needs to marry Hawkman and have continuity fucked babies.
Well, I'm still hoping that right before Kyle dies, that he hits her one more time and gets her pregnant, because that would be a lot worse. Because maybe that's where Breach came from. Maybe I'm
I'm
hoping that Jason Todd will start nailing it to really piss fanboys off.
Oh my god!
did you read any of the Titans run that we're talking about?
No.
All of us are in agreement. All of us are in agreement that Wolfman Perez was excellent.
Right.
It's about as good as it gets. Yeah.
And then when those two stopped being the guys on that book, it went south really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, I want to say for the record, you know, Wolfman took kind of a creative dive towards the end of that book.
Yeah.
You know, and I had mentioned it was a Terry Sloan, not Terry Sloan.
Terry Long.
Terrific. Terry Long, who is like, was Marv Wolfman. He wrote himself to date Donna Troy.
When I was thinking about this, I was exactly going to say that, is that they took the character. I mean, obviously, they thought it was all right for, you know, 30 and 40-year-old men to be tagging teenagers.
Right.
Which, you know, I can't completely disagree with. But they, obviously, those two guys created him as a concept character for, you know, all the older men dating teenage girls aren't sleazeballs. We'll have Wonder Girl dating one and make him an all right guy. And everybody was waiting on him to be, like, some sort of evil entity, or that he was going to be... You turn into something, and no, he was just regular guy the whole time. No. Why the fuck is this guy hanging out?
He was evil because he was boring. But but that's actually one of the things too, is if you read the book when he's there, they kind of start making her like late 20s, early 30s at that point, because she needs to tie down and get married and pop out babies and blah blah blah. But no, I mean that's again another continuity.
Isn't that what women do? If I say anything bad about women that's offending a listener, just remember, you know, the women control the punani, and I'm just kind of jealous of
that. It's the only way we can answer back.
And therefore, control of my wallet and my life, and all I've got is this hour and a half podcast.
And football.
Right. Well, I don't even have football, man.
But I thought that was really odd that, like you said, they kind of tried to make her the older one of the bunch, even though she wasn't, and they married her to a 50-year-old teacher.
Well,
it seemed like a really odd departure.
Show continuity here. We're going to go back to the fan fiction show. That's just how thing. Creepy people, and people weird some of those people are. All right, Marv Wolfman lived the dream. He got to write himself fucking Donna Troy into a comic book.
About a nickel for every time I thought about that.
Yeah, he got paid for it.
Quite a bit, too, actually.
Not me thinking about Marv Wolfman doing Donna Troy.
Too late.
Wasn't what I meant.
It counts. Yeah, and every relaunch of Titans since then has been
a weaker
echo. Yeah, but the thing is, what is it that's going to make good Titans? What do you want out of your Titans?
I actually liked the first six issues of the new Teen Titans, the newest Volume 4, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. Is this the Family Lost one?
Yes. Huh. Yes.
Are we talking about this book?
That particular book, the first six issues of that book.
It got relaunched by Jeff Johns and Tony Daniel.
Yes. But I like Jeff Johns.
You guys consider Young Justice to be a Teen Titans book?
No.
Does anybody read and like Young Justice out of this crowd?
Young Justice, woo, it's been a while since I looked at that book, but I seem to remember it being more of a comedy book than anything else.
It was it was one of those books that at the time there was so much, I don't say darkness, because it was just, I'll say crap. There was just so much crap out there at the time.
Dark crap.
You were coming back from Batman having his back broken. Mm-hmm. You know, you were coming back from
Superman being dead,
and Wonder Woman giving up the tiara and wearing that god-awful
biker outfit.
By the way, just real fast, what is it when everybody gets their new bad costume? It's black, white, and, or black, blue, and some other color. But anyway.
Black fixes everything.
It's very slimming.
Yeah. All that was going on, they were trying to fix everything. Kyle just had the ring back, you know, or Kyle got the ring, and there's all this other stuff going on that, you know, the Silver Age Green Arrow had died, and his son took over, and there was all this other stuff. It was just a book that you could buy and read and didn't have to worry about any other crap.
And isn't it amazing how you say that, and yet all of those characters have suffered absolutely gruesome fates since? Superboy, Kal-El, is dead.
Dead.
Thankfully.
Right? You got Wonder Girl goes on, you know, religious fervor craziness right. from Superboy dying.
Bart got killed.
Bart Allen is dead now.
Good job.
Freaking Red Tornado got his freaking arm ripped off.
Which is awesome.
Poor guy.
So we're saying that's not necessarily a Titans book, but when Geoff Johns took over, it was basically a mix. The New Titans was basically half Wolfman Perez Titans
right,
and half Young Justice.
But there was also some introductions. I mean, I know like Wonder Girl's first appearance was in Wonder Woman, but nobody really gave a damn about her until right. she joined Young Justice.
You know why they didn't? Because when she was originally created, she was created frumpy. When they made her hot, DC thought she was an interesting character.
I have to say, when she had the glasses and the black wig, I thought she kind of had nerd cute going on there.
And, yeah, but Devin's comic book equivalent ignored her until she was hot. So did all the comic book buyers. So stick that in your Supergirl criticize and fight and smoke it, people.
Well, I don't like Supergirls.
I guess that's the other thing that's kind of weird about Titans is I can handle it if you're inserting different people into the Green Lantern role or into the Flash role. But when you start inserting different people into sidekick roles,
yeah.
then it gets really confusing really fast. But you still got a couple of Wonder Girls to deal with now.
Right. Yeah.
And a couple or three Superboys to try and put together in your head.
Well, continuity-wise, who the hell is... There's only he's the only Superboy that's not Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Kid Flashes?
Two. Impulse was Kid Flash for like 12 issues.
Right.
Which yeah. I actually liked. I liked him deciding yeah. he wanted to be Kid Flash.
Well, that was the thing. At the end when he got his kneecap blown off and then...
Which was sweet.
And then he comes... Well, I actually also like
Bart Allen, man.
But it was also... You know, at that point, like we talked about with Deathstroke, he was a badass character during the Wolfman Perez Titans.
Right.
And then went soft and they tried to get... He went venomy. They decided to give him his own book and see if they could make money off of him and completely shit away anything that was interesting about the character. And then he went back to being a villain, but completely uninteresting and nobody did anything with him. And then Messer brings him back and he beats the entire Justice League's ass by himself.
Which is cool.
And then he decides, hey, I got a Titans heart on again, and he blows Bart's kneecap off.
Right.
I mean, that's good hardcore shit.
Well, I guess you really didn't like the issue where in Devin Grayson's run where Roy Harper single-handedly stood toe-to-toe with him.
Oh, and the thing of the Outsiders.
Yeah.
It was an awesome subplot that he was, when the new Outsiders launched, the same time the new Titans book launched.
Literally, yeah.
Roy Harper, dumbass, thinks that Batman is giving him inside information to go bust crimes because naturally he would ask Roy instead of Dick to do shit. And it's Deathstroke the whole time, just fucking with Roy.
But
so then Roy finally figures it out, apparently, and they start brawling on the rooftop. And Deathstroke beats his ass, as he should, and is standing over in him and doesn't kill him because he decides to have sympathy for that piece of crap.
Isn't his name Deathstroke?
John, well, you've been trying to get something out for the last 5 minutes here.
Well, I know. Do you just like rambling, or is it... I'm just kidding. No, but the thing is not only was he... just to back up your point, but to kind of help back up your point, too, is as Speedy, he was around Batman. As Arsenal, he was around Batman. How the fuck could you not know when somebody else is Batman?
And how do you confuse Deathstroke with Batman?
I mean, the voices alone would be different, but anyway.
This is a guy that was a government agent at one point.
These Teen Titans, I don't know who any Teen Titans are. My only exposure besides Teen Titans 50 and flipping through the books that Brian gave me and not reading a single one of them is the Teen Titans cartoon.
Teen Titans!
Go.
And how accurate is that?
Not at all.
The cartoon?
Yeah.
Not at all.
The characters, though?
The cartoon actually came, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong about this, was there not a Titans... Elseworlds story called Scissor Paper Stone?
Rock Paper Scissors.
Rock Paper Scissors, there we go.
You know, the named after that game that people
after
play.
After the game, yeah, where you make rocks and paper and scissors. The story apparently had a very anime kind of feel to it, and I couldn't help but notice that when a freaking Titans cartoon finally starts to go somewhere, it also has a very anime feel to it.
Right.
The Titans had an original... show back when they had Super Friends, but they couldn't use Robin, so it was just
he
was with the big boys, so Speedy, Aqualad, Wonder Girl, and Flash, and it was one of those like 15-minute cartoons that were on the side of other DC stuff.
Right.
The Wolfman and Perez Titans got optioned for animated projects that never went anywhere.
Yeah.
So then finally, well, how successful Justice League Unlimited was, they have that Titans cartoon, and it's kind of based off of the Wolfman Perez Titans, but in a bastardized form.
Well, you want to know why? Because he wrote a lot of the episodes.
Did he?
Really? Yeah. Because actually,
makes me feel even worse about
random,
it.
Randomness of the show here. We actually have some of the scripts signed by Wolfman from the cartoon at the store.
Cool.
Come see me, and I'll let you make fun of me. Cause
That makes me feel even worse about it, because one of my complaints about it is they take really good storylines, classic storylines, and bastardize them for the 22-minute, well, we can't say or do anything
naughty format. I've only seen one story arc on that show, which is actually kind of cool. It was Deathstroke trying to get Robin to be his sidekick instead of Batman's sidekick. Well, it was actually all right. It
they
was
did
pretty
that,
good.
And correct me if one of the titles, but Terra Incognito, they tried to do that. Mm-hmm. They tried to hit up with the Judas contract. They took, like you said, really, really good stories. But again, they were writing them for kids, so they took all the
fuck the kids. Not literally.
Wow, that's like the third or fourth pedophile thing you said in an
update. I understand why they did it, but if they wanted to make kid-friendly stuff, why don't they make original kid-friendly stuff and not take a demon, an otherworld demon that's supposed to be Lucifer, and get him for kids?
Right. And Deathstroke, alien.
And Deathstroke humping a 14-year-old to get her to betray her other 14-year-old friends. And kitty that up.
Teen Titans, by the way, have to have the worst battle cry I've ever freaking read.
Titans together.
Titans together.
Dude, it was a hippie generation. It's what do you expect?
Is any better than
definitely
Avengers,
no Avengers Assemble.
Is he better than Avengers Assemble?
Avengers
Assemble. Let's get together. Let's gather in group formation.
Now all I can think about is freaking Anchorman. News team, assemble! Got the Mighty Conk Show.
One thing I will say to wrap up the issue itself.
Yeah, I've learned everything I need to learn about Teen Titans today.
Not really. We didn't really talk about anything. The thing I don't like about this issue as a jumping on point is all the flashbacks and Bart being dead and all that kind of stuff. Anybody can kind of get that, but
I got it.
But the new storyline that they're jumping onto, if you haven't been reading this entire run of Jeff Johns,
is not
you don't know what's going on in the rest of the book.
Right.
I'm
disappointed. That's one other question that I have is that these are supposed to be, and I understand that we have 52 new universes. Who cares? Point is that these characters are supposed to be future versions of the kids.
Yes.
So you've got a future Bart and a future Connor who are both dead in the book. So how are they? I want to see how they explain that, because that's going to kind of get
Bart's.
What the hell are you
talking
about?
So they're all time traveling, existing in different times, so it doesn't matter. And Connor's a clone.
Of a clone.
There you go. I'm Dan Didio.
There you go.
I'm guessing that they're explaining it with different universes and
they have to. I mean,
bullshit.
It's going
to
be like, you know.
The only good thing I like about that is I actually like the idea of Tim eventually being Batman.
I also like the fact that in the, was it 16, 18, whatever issue it was, where he had the gun that actually killed Bruce's parents. I thought that kid kind of ass. Yeah.
I like the Tim being Batman.
If you read
like
the
Tim
books
Drake.
They give you.
He's a good character.
Do we have anything else to say on this topic?
God, I hope
I think
not.
We ran out of stuff to say about 30 minutes ago.
I agree.
After this, we're going to start hopefully releasing a bunch of interviews like we did for Heroes Con.
Awesome.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
If either of you can bring yourself to go up and talk to people.
Now, Boulevard's going to be there. Steve Niles, Sarah Wilkinson will be there. Sarah won't be setting up, but she will be hanging out with Steve. We'll be getting some interviews with them. Sean
Are you still
going
to try to get
goal.
Her charcoal drawing there?
I am going to. I'm still trying to get that charcoal drawing.
She's just very polite.
Yeah, she's just a nice person.
So expect a bunch of that. We may do a show.
Demons.
Who knows? We got anything lined up for next week?
Robin Firth next weekend.
Robin Firth. Yeah, that's going to be another interview, man. So expect a lot of interviews next week, and apparently people like that more anyway.
I don't want to listen to you guys anymore than I have to.
Well, let's cut it now.